Good morning and welcome. Thank you for being with us today as a church to worship our great Lord and Savior, our great King. I want to welcome everybody on a fall Sunday. I want to welcome all our visitors. We're glad you're here. Welcome the Fritz family all the way from Nashville. Thank you. And thank you for Ezra, too. We're enjoying him up here. So for our visitors, we're walking through Romans 12 right now. We are walking through Romans. We're on chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 is where we'll be via Exodus 4. So if you want to open your Bibles, we'll start in Exodus 4. We talked about, Greg preached on Romans 12 last week, the first five verses. This week we'll probably be in verses 3 through 9. And the main emphasis is on the spiritual gifts. So we'll be talking a lot about spiritual gifts today. And I doubt we'll get through the whole chapter. But we'll see. We'll see how the Lord leads. Let's open up to Exodus chapter 4, a familiar story of Moses. They say when you go to write a anybody write a paper, write a paper for school. I don't really write papers except for school. You write a paper and you don't usually title it. I was taught in high school you don't title your paper until it's done, right? You write out the paper, then you give a title. So I don't know what if you want to put a title on a sermon or not. I don't have one because it's not done. Right, it's still being developed. But if I have to think about it and I have to maybe guess what it could be, it's what's your job? What's your responsibility? Or it's be the church. You are called to be the church. As we read through here, as we read the story of Moses and Moses' conversation with God and his unwillingness to use his gifts or what he thought was not his gift. Right? What's your job? What is your role? You are called to be a part of the local church. As we read through Romans 12, there's one theme that yelled at me in studying chapter 12, this section. It's use your gift. Right? It's not very, there's a lot of, it wasn't very specific, the gifts. They are, but they're not. They're kind of broad in general. And I think that's somewhat on purpose. Because I don't think we can define ourselves as just being one gifts. We have portions. We have that they can change. God can use what we're not naturally good at. So we can't get tied up into like, hey, listen, I'm just a teacher. So I'm not going to help with church launch. I'm not going to help with organization because I'm just a teacher. Right? Or I'm just a giver. I just give. You need something else done, that's not me because I'm just the giver. I don't think we should limit ourselves it doesn't matter what I think. The scriptures are going to teach us, it's not so much about the gift, it's about using the gift. So I want to thank our local Indianapolis church body. Thank you for being a part of the church. I want to encourage anybody to be a part of a church, whether it's this local body or another local body. You need to be a part of a local body. All right, so let's read. So that's what I'm guessing that will come out, but we'll see as we read through the scriptures and trust that the Holy Spirit, Father God, we just trust that you will teach us what you want us to teach. Help us hear what you want us to hear this Sunday through these scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we want to start in verse. We could read the first chapters 3 and 4. It would be really nice. But for the lack of time, I think we're going to start in verse 10. So here Moses in chapter 3, he's in the burning bush. He gets called by God to go to the Israelites. He's got some reservations. He's taught about the signs, about the staff already. It turns into a snake. He picks it up, about his hand in the jacket, turns white, goes back. And he's like, if that doesn't work, take a cup of the Nile, pour it out. It's going to turn blood red. But he's still in question here. So let's pick up in verse 10. And Moses, chapter 4, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he come forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of mouth, and thou shalt be him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, whither thou shalt do signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father, and said unto him, Let's go, I pray thee, and return unto thy brethren which Egypt, and whether they go, they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. We'll pause there. Let's pause and sing together, and we'll come back to Exodus 4 as we move into Romans. Let's sing out of the Hymns of Zion. Correction, Zion's Harp, the Black Book, the Zion's Harp, 186, Humility. Right, so as we read in Romans 12, a key theme there between being a living sacrifice and the gifts, it's humility. 186.
Yeah.
Let's pray together. Father God, we come to you in the great name of Jesus, the risen Savior, your beloved Son. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who came and died on the cross and shed his blood, that we can have redemption and repentance and be reunited with you. Lord, we pray that you will, Lord, what do you want us to hear today? Holy Spirit, speak to us through thy word. Open our ears that we hear. Open our eyes that we see. Whether it's just relaxing from the weekly stress or even through the weekly stress, speak to our hearts. We expect to hear from you because we're hearing God's word, your great word. What a great gift you've given this age, this generation, the age of the church. Thank you. Lord, you know our needs, you know our desires, you know our wants, you know our sins, you know us. You knew Aaron was a great speaker. You know the gifts you've given us. We pray for your mighty grace to come and rule our lives. We pray that your mighty humility will come and rule our lives. We are unworthy to even be your servant, yet we are your children. You are so worthy. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. So let's stay in these few verses here in Exodus and derive points from them. The first one that we just prayed about was how God knows us. He knows Moses, right? And it's really awesome how he even sent Aaron before Moses made his objections. He knew the objections. If he needed a speaker, why did he not go to Aaron, who would have been a great speaker? Sure, I'll go. I wonder what that conversation was like, which is not recorded. How did Aaron know to go to the wilderness? He had a conversation with God. Was it just a hunch? Was it a loud voice? I have no idea. Hey, wife, I'm going to go to the wilderness to see Moses. Moses? That crazy brother of yours? Yeah, he's on his way back, I guess. I don't know. All right, be home for dinner. I doubt that's what it looked like. I bet Aaron was under awe when he spoke of God, when God spoke to him. So then point maybe number two is sometimes God uses us for gifts that we don't think we're good at. God uses us for gifts that we don't think we're good at. And we can play this game, right? So I don't want to play that game. The game of intention. Did God really intend for Aaron to be the spokesman? I'm playing it. Or did he really want Moses to do it? Moses didn't do it, so I guess we'll use Aaron. Did Moses lose out on a blessing upon that? Yet God knew that would be what happened. You could kind of play the circle game, I think, over and over, and I don't know how healthy it is. I believe God loves open conversation, and he loves to say, I believe he would love to say, God, I don't know how to speak. I hear you asking me to go speak. I don't know how to speak. How are you going to do that? Wouldn't that have been a better posture? I think he would really delight in that and not become angry. So he asked that question, and God gives him this response. Who made your mouth? Who made those who can't speak? Who gives sight? Who gives the blind? It's me. Oh, yeah, Lord. Thanks. Moses says it, asked again. And then in 14 is when the anger of the Lord is kindled. Let's go to Romans 12. just 21 verses. We'll read the whole chapter, and then we'll back up and dive into it together. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. For I say, the grace given unto me to every man is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to what God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligency, and he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer, distributing to the necessary of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense evil. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but wrath. Giveth place unto wrath, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord, Romans 12. So reviewing a little bit in Romans, a short review, we kind of have the first 11 chapters, right, where Paul lays out theology, where Paul lays out how kind of how this whole thing works, and there's tension throughout Romans, and there's tension throughout Romans 12, and we see all the great things that God does. We recognize, and even in chapter 1 and throughout Romans, how we are a sinner. We are a sinner. All of us are sinners. How then God's great gift of Jesus the Messiah, who died on the cross and paid with the atonement of his blood for us. We're made justified by believing. And then we're sanctified and transformed. And Greg preached about it last Sunday, the first 5 verses. In verses 1 and 2, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. You can't get into the gifts. I think this is somewhat linear here in chapter 12, how you don't get into the gifts until you've made yourself a living sacrifice. There's a beautiful parallel in Corinthians. Right, Corinthians 12 talks about linear, right? You present yourself a living sacrifice. You use the gifts. And then verse 9, you do it in love. Corinthians 12 is all about gifts. What's Corinthians 13 all about? Love. So we got 12, so we have Romans, and then here comes some tension, and we're moving into what is our role as God's children. I enjoy it, but I use caution. That's the word. I use caution referencing other preachers. So apparently, D.L. Moody said, right? I heard MacArthur quote D.L. Moody. And he says, the admission to heaven is free, but the annual dues is everything. The admission to Christ is free, but the annual dues is everything. And that kind of sums up the transition we're here, the first part of 11. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus and what he's done. There's nothing that we do, right? We need to preface this as we start talking about service. There's nothing that we do that earns righteousness. There's nothing we do that earns justification. Maybe believe. Maybe in response we believe, according to the St. John. But then, verse 1 in chapter 12, a living sacrifice. That's everything. Everything. Your character, your thoughts are scripture here in the first few chapters. Your thoughts to be conformed, your mind, your actions, your time, your wealth, which isn't even yours. Everything, your relationships, your marriage, your parenting, your grandparenting, your singleness, everything. Think of Jesus tells the parable, right? There's a guy knows there's a treasure in a field. There's a treasure in the field, right? Like a huge diamond that's priceless, better than the lottery times 12. Whatever. Well, it's even a lot more when you compare it to the gift of Christ, right? A huge treasure. And he's got some stuff. Who wouldn't take yourself? Who wouldn't sell your house? Sell your cars? Sell everything to get enough money to buy this land to have even more? Everybody would. Wouldn't you? Unless you're really lazy. Unless you're like, ah. But if you knew and you believed that was the case, if you knew and you believed that if you sold everything, you sold your future for a great reward, who wouldn't do it? We would do it. And that parallels give your whole life for a life in Christ. I promise you it's better. I promise you it's better. Sell it all. Your control. Your desires. Sell them all. I promise you it's better. Not without trial. Not without doubt. Not without persecution. Maybe some, you might even get suffer persecution and be beat. You could suffer humiliation for the cause of Christ. But I promise you, it's better. So going into verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto you, think man no to every man that is among you, not to think high. Think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man measure of faith. It was beautiful during outreach. Luke and Caleb Schaefer, right? They came up here and they shared that. It was cool to see them, two brothers, share that their difference and just see their personalities come out and their gifts. And they had this great skit out here to where you had people in a coffee house and all these other gifts would come and just do it without humility. They're like, hey, listen, this is how you don't do it. And then they just did this great skit of like this in the story, the lady lost everything in a hurricane. And then so the giver comes and gives them like a bottle of water and diapers. The lady didn't even have kids, for an example. And so then it was a great skit. So here in verse 3, a key that they taught on was humility. Come on, church. Humility. And it's wrapped up again at the end of these verses in Romans. To put other people in front of you. That's not natural. It's not natural. We need God's grace to be able to do this. But His grace is available and you can do this. Humility. Genuine, not this false, right? We can get into some false humility. It's kind of hard. When you use your gift, another point brought out that I think Eric taught about, or Eric reminded me about, as a church, we need to let other people use your gifts. Right? We need to let other people use their gifts. And when you use your gifts, it's awesome. It really is. It even feels so good to use the gifts that God's given you. So then sometimes people might thank you. Right? Hey, thanks. You gave a gift. That gift is really needed to that person. Thanks. How do you accept that in humility? Sometimes we got this false humility. We're like, shucks. It was nothing. Right? Went deep down. Give me more. Right? I want some more of that. I suffer from this. Give me more. Right? It's in our deep heart. Like, hey, give me more. I want some more. It's real. It's nothing. Ron teaches very well. Just say, hey, thanks. Thanks for the encouragement. I appreciate it. Because it might be an encourager who's trying to encourage you, so you won't let him use their gift. Thanks, I'm encouraged. Right? And then we wrestle. Let's wrestle with humility at the heart level. You will wrestle with it. But we don't have to give out a false humility. One thing we do really well at the church is teach humility. I was in college and I had a college class buddy, and he's like, yeah, prideful, it's good. You want to have pride. I'm like, no, that's wrong. I think I was a Christian at the time, but even for my youth, right? So I just knew humility wasn't good. But we don't have to go around putting false humility. Just say thanks. You're welcome. Hey, thanks. I'm thankful. It's a trick. If you figure out how to do it well, let me know. We'll sign you up for a Wednesday night, maybe. So, humility. Real, Christ-given humility. And it comes with our mind and how we think, but to think soberly. All right? And then we have oneness and we have the body in verses 4 and 5. There's many members, and that was the theme for outreach last weekend. Many members, one body. Do you catch this? I think this would be the theme for this morning. Be the body. Be the body. There's many differences, and let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate the differences. Right? So many times we get to serve on the fellowship. Vision Day is coming up. There's a fellowship committee. And so many times don't we get in trouble for not being in here for singing? It's our church is so cute. I don't know if your local church is this way. So we'll have a business meeting, or we'll have our Vision Day meeting, and we'll be in here to sing on time, right? That next Sunday. So Vision meeting is like November 10th or 11th. That next Sunday, we'll be in here on time. After business meetings, we're here on time. It lasts for about 3 or 4 Sundays. Then we get reminded. Then we do good for 3 or 4. I love singing. I love worship. We're working through that. But it's also really cool. Why aren't we here a lot of times? Because we're fellowshipping, especially in the afternoon. We're fellowshipping. We're connecting. We're having connections. That's great. Thanks for being here while we preach. I appreciate it. It does help. But even like preaching, the church, if you think about the church came together and I'm not discrediting preaching. I think this is a great time of worship and we do it together, right? As we study and we think through God's word and we worship through God's meditation and through his word, not through the preacher. But in our society today, we can get so many other sermons, so many other Bible teachings. You don't have to be here. I think it's streaming online. You can go to the website and stream it online. We have an app. Right? We got an app. And you can go online and hear dozens of sermons right now, or past sermons, and there's just at a click of a finger with technology that I think we all have access to. So at least at the library. But what you can't get when you sit at home clicking through, you can't get connections. You can't get connections. You can't be used when you sit at home. If you sit in your pajamas and click through sermons, right? You sit at home, put your pajamas on. I had a flight instructor giving me a test in Bowling Green, Kentucky, back in 2002, probably. I was getting a rating. And we got on the topic of Christianity, and he's like, "Nah, I've had some bad experiences with the local church, and so I just stay at home and listen to this TV evangelist. I'm kind of subscribed to him. I won't share his name because if I would have known his name, I thought this guy's a lunatic. But anyway, not a lunatic, off. And I wish I would have been more developed in my maturity, to be like, hey, how are you being used in the body, though? That's fine if you're getting yourself filled." But how are you pouring out to others? You gotta show up. You gotta be available. You gotta be part of the body. I think this is scripture. Can you be annoyed at the minister, at the preacher? Is he not your style? Probably. Can you be annoyed at the songs and the worship? You'd rather have it a different way? Man, so many churches have had so many problems through the music. Right, we got a local church here in town in Indianapolis. I won't share their names, and they had a high attendance. Their attendance went a lot lower. Part of it was they decided to minister to maybe a different demographic, which included different music, as an example. Some of us are going to love it one way, some of us are going to love the other. That's great. Be part of the local church, dive in here, and then go put your headphones on when you're home alone. And enjoy your personal flavor. We're not called about, right? We think other people more highly. It's hard. It's hard to bring a group of humans. The church is not going to be perfect. So kind of going to the next point as we get in here, as you read through these gifts, whose job is it to use them? Whose job is it to use the gifts? Whose responsibility is it? Is it the churches? Is it, and I mean church, is it church leadership? No. It's not church's leadership's responsibility to have you use your gift. It's your responsibility to use your gift. Am I reading that right? Hey, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If it's prophesying, then prophesy according to the faith given to you. Is it ministry? Is it service? Then serve. It doesn't say, hey, is your gift ministry? Then wait for the church leadership to put you in a position of leadership, of service. It doesn't say that. It is your responsibility. As we talk about as a fellowship committee, we worry. We worry about the lack of connection. We worry about the lack of connection. I heard a speaker last week. His name's Bob Goff. He wrote a book, Goff. Something like that. Three needs we have as humans. Love, connection, and purpose. Love, connection, and purpose. This is obviously beyond the basic needs. You come to church. You don't come to church for church lunch. You don't come to church for the air conditioning. You come to church to be connected and to worship God, but we also have needs. And one place where you can have your love, connection, and purpose met is here in the church. Look, this is the church. This is the body of Jesus Christ. This isn't a club. This is not a club. Sometimes church can feel kind of clubbish. You got a president, you got treasury, you can get some drama going on about different issues. It's not a club. I got a good friend who's is in a glider club, right? There's a glider club, I think, in Alexandria, Indiana, and he serves like as the president of it. So hear him tell some of the stories. Oh yeah, clubs. Whew. This is not a club. This is not a business. We got a financial meeting once a year, right? To be part of legals and laws. But this is not a business. Yeah, there's money that comes in and yeah, money goes out. But this is a body. The analogy that Paul uses here is a body. I'm sorry if you've had a bad experience with church. I don't know what to say about that. As we were meeting last night, the waitress was there and she goes, "Hey, it's kind of fun to hear you talk." We went to a really good cake place down in Broad Ripple. It's delicious. But the seating wasn't very good. And we were sat in a bar. There's four of us that met and we're four across. And so it wasn't inducive. It wasn't our desire. It would have been great to have been face to face. But then this lady who was making all these coffees that looked really good. I'm making all these coffees. She speaks up. She's like, "It's really fun to hear you guys say that because my dad was a preacher down in Texas." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, he worked more than 1 hour a week, right? He had to do all this stuff too." And then the conversation would stop and start, and we ask her, "So, hey, where do you go to church?" "I don't right now. I had a bad experience in North Carolina." I don't know what to say to that. I know there's churches that start and who specifically try to tune in to those who've had bad experiences before. You're going to have bad experiences because we're a church, we're a body, and the body's made up of just Jesus Christ? No. If it was made up of just Jesus Christ, you would have no bad experiences. You wouldn't. But in the body, he's just the head, and we are the body. And you're here. You're here. I'm here. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. There's going to be more than just conflict. There's going to be bad experiences. But don't let those bad experiences in a church body. If we want it to be perfect, then let's leave. Let's turn the lights off. Let's have somebody come in and just keep the... We've got to probably pay the electric... Actually, this building won't even be perfect because it's going to wear and tear over the years. Let's just all leave and turn the lights off. It'll be perfect. We perfectly have nothing. We can have nothing. If you want perfection, we can have perfection of nothing. That's about it. But if we want to be part of the body and be part of Christ's purposes according to his word, then you need to be here and be involved. So we got the different gifts. Hey, this is great. I got nobody to finish up. We'll end at least by 11. I think I can time it out, right? I might be off a little bit. So we got about 5 or 10 more minutes here where we're going to keep diving into this word. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We got a few announcements. They're pretty small. Then we'll go eat lunch together. Just take a break. Pause. So we got the purpose. We know what we need to do. We need to be part of the body. So what are your gifts? And there's different lists of gifts here, according to the scriptures. And I found this really fascinating. Before we go into these gifts here, if you turn, don't turn. You could turn. It's in Mark 16. Okay, Mark 16 is kind of one of the first lists of gifts. And this would be the first. And it's kind of the gifts of signs. And as you read through the signs, we got Mark that gives us some gifts. We got Corinthians that gives us some gifts in 12. And we got some gifts listed here in Romans 12. And then we also got 1 Peter chapter 4 that talks about some gifts. So instead of going deep into each gifts, we're going to take a broad view in the next 5 to 10 minutes of the different gifts, of the different sections. So in Mark 16, you have the gifts to cast out demons in Christ's name. Number two, speak in new tongues. Number three, pick up serpents, drink deadly poison, and not be hurt. Four, gift of laying on of hands for healing. Contrast, okay, so then we'll come back to those. And then you have 1 Corinthians, you got the word of wisdom, you got utter knowledge, three, faith, four, gift of healing, five, work of miracles, six, prophecy, seven, discerning the spirits, eight, diverse kinds of tongues, and number nine, interpretation of tongues. Not quite as miraculous, not quite as signy, that's the right word. Not quite as miraculous, not kind of a signy. And then we go into Romans and we got prophecy and serving and exhorting or encouraging, giving, ruleth or leading, six, mercy. I was going to say the numbers keep going down, but that's not true. Four, nine, whatever that number was. And then we have 1 Peter. 1 Peter breaks it down to the gifts of speaking and the gifts of serving. Speaking, oracles of God, and serving. And I read these in chronological order. It would have been very important for the gifts of the apostles that some believe are still here, some believe are not here. Right? Does the church body still have the gifts of apostleship? Listen, in Mark 16, there would be a probably depending on your denomination that you worship with, different lines of thought on that. I was in a bookstore. It was a Wednesday night. I was on a business trip, and I was at a bookstore and got invited to church. I really wanted to be church. I was in a city that didn't have one of our denominations, so I went, and they were speaking in tongues. Right? It kind of stood up. I heard some different voices. Scripture seemed fine. I'm like, huh. Paul talks about that in chapter 12. Right? So people would still think this gift that we have different... The church today or humans today have different thoughts on this. I'm not going to go into one or the other. But it would have been very important for the gifts of the apostles to have these miraculous gifts, for the ability to cast out demons, for the ability not to die, for the ability to be able to lay hands and heal them, because there needed to be confirmation that they were speaking God's word. They needed to have confirmation that they were speaking God's word. It's all Jewish law. It's the testimony of two or three. You got the words and you got this miraculous sign. We today, the church, have scripture. And then it goes into Corinthians and their list, and you still have working of miracles in that list. And then as we go on in Romans, there's no working of miracles. And he kind of divides it up, and then it comes down into 1 Peter, just sums it up, speaking with the oracles, which would include prophesying, teaching, exhorting, or into service. You could break it up this way. A prophet proclaims the truth. I heard this week. Prophets proclaim the truth. Teachers make it systematic and explain the truth. Exhorters call for a response to the truth. And service puts truth in action. You could break out Romans gifts into those four main topics. Prophesying. I think it was the Schaeffers when they were talking in outreach. Listen, that's just simply proclaiming God's word. Hearing God's word, proclaiming God's word. Hear God's word, proclaiming God's word. I hope we all have a portion of prophet in us. Right? Sometimes when I think of prophet, I think of somebody who has this revelation. That's not right. Right? Who can like predict the future. Somebody who can predict the future. And so we shy away from this gift of prophecy. Jesus is coming back. How's that for a prediction? Got a little bit of prophecy in here. Jesus is coming back, I promise you. Because I heard it from God. I heard it in His Word. Don't ask me when. Don't ask me how. Don't ask me in what order of sequence. I don't know. But we all hear God's Word, right? God says, believe in His Son. You know that. You've heard that from God. Now proclaim it. Don't shy away from the gift of prophecy. Ministering. Serving. It's the gift of serving. Exhorting. Encouraging. Giving. Give. Breaks down a little bit in service, right? You want to serve. It tells us to do it. Teaching. You do it on teaching. Mercy. With simplicity. That would be like not self-serving when it comes to giving. Ruleth. The ESV, the NLT, the NIV uses the word leadeth. Right? We got to think about reactions. King James would have been written in a time of monarchy and kings. We have trouble understanding that a lot today. Even in our presidency, we half the time we don't like our president. Leading would be a probably more apical word that would make sense to us in our culture today. So if you give, give. If you want to ruleth, right? It's more of a leading versus a dominant, being dominant. I hear ruleth. I hear being somebody being dominant, controlling over. That would be anti-scripture, wouldn't it? Because if you kind of think about, or even so, if you're in this leadership role, you got to do it with humility, and then you got to do it later on in this with putting other people in front of yours. But when I hear the word ruleth, I think somebody who gets their way whatever they want, whenever they want it. You're the ruler. You're boss man. That would be I believe that would be unscripture, even though there is a place of leadership. There is definitely biblical leadership, which is also very biblical. Moses got called, right? So let's listen on this thought. So Moses kind of felt it, didn't he? He kind of felt the calling even before he was commissioned. He killed the Egyptian. He knew the people needed to be freed. He had the stirring inside it. But church, we have to use our gifts for God's purpose. In God's way. Use the gifts He's given us for His purpose, in His way. Moses messed it up. He didn't use it in God's way. It wasn't his time. Then when it was his time, he didn't believe God. He didn't believe God could let him use the gifts of leadership and speaking and prophecy. Let's believe God. Call out a song. After we sing, one of you brothers, please lead us in prayer.
Loving Father, we come before the close of this morning's service, so thankful for the teaching and the exhortation that we've heard, thankful for the reminders to be a part of the body, the church, of the bride of Christ, that we could use that which thou hast given us for thy honor and glory, that we could strengthen our brethren and encourage the church, that we could walk onward together as a brotherhood to encourage one another in service to thee and to strengthen one another and to seek thy will in all that we do. Thank thee, Father, for the reminder that thou art the head, and that we need to serve thee, and where we have had, quote, bad experiences, we pray that we could exercise forgiveness, we could use it to draw closer to thee, and to remember that our lives are for thee, and we pray that the church could help, that we as the church could help one another, that we could walk onward together. Please, Father, go onward with us now. Guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. We pray that many more might be drawn unto thee through thy church, that we could come alongside those who have a desire, that we could encourage them, and that they could come to know thee as their Lord and Jesus Christ, their Savior. We ask, Father, that all would be done in accordance with thy will. And we ask it in the precious and loving name of our Lord and Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.